How many of you already have your Christmas decorations down already? Yes. Yes. December 26th. Yep, that's me right there. December 26th, I have all of the Christmas decorations put away until the day after Thanksgiving for next year. That's when they go back up. Oh, so wonderful. All right. This Wednesday is New Year's Day. People are probably already having New Year's resolutions. You're probably already thinking about all the stuff that you are going to resolve to do come the new year. The resolutions for most people last to the second Friday of January, and sometimes they go on. The max is about 6 weeks into the year for most people, and they're back to square one. They've already given up on all their New Year's resolutions, and there are so many of them. So many people have so many things that they strive that they're going to do in the new year. Of course, the two biggest ones are health and finances. Everybody always says, oh, starting January 1st, I'm going to lose a couple pounds. You know what? I'm happy with me. If you're not happy with me, then just deal with it. Because I'm going to gain a few more and lose a few and gain a few and lose a few. And it's all good. Because you know what? I'm getting a new body. Amen? That's the hope. I'm going to get a new body. So I'm getting brand new knees. I pity the unsaved guy that's going to be below me because he's going to get hit in the head with my fake knees. So, but should have accepted Jesus. We all strive to do a little things differently, and we always take the new year to do stuff like that. Like, well, January 1st, I'm going to lose a little bit of weight. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to exercise a little more. I'm going to, you know what? I need to drink more water. Drink more water is going to be good. Okay, so come January 1st, I'm going to drink a little more water. I need to reduce stress. I need to sleep better. So what we do is in December, we always stop everything. Like, okay, January is coming. I'm not, okay, I got 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Hey, it's still Sunday. I got till Wednesday. I can do whatever I want. I'm good to go because on January 1st, that's when all the new stuff begins. People want to spend more time with family. They want to get organized. They want to travel more. They want to learn something new. I'm going to learn something new this year. Okay, those are great ideas. Learn a new skill. Maybe learn a new hobby. Read more. Starting in January 1st, I'm going to read my Bible from Genesis to Revelation all the way through in 1 year. Okay, those things are great. And then people are like, well, I got to get out of debt. That's a big one because you probably charged it at Christmas time. You got all this debt and you're like, we'll get out of debt next year starting January. Doesn't mean you need to spend more now. But the idea is that people have all these resolutions that they want to start on a specific day. Maybe January is the biggest month to start brand new memberships. In January, the gym memberships are absolutely astronomical. This is Black Friday for them because they get out of the black, man. They get back into the, or out of the red and into the black, or I don't know what all that stuff is. But yeah, this is the biggest month for gym memberships. February and March are the biggest plummet in gym memberships because by those 2 months, people have stopped going or they haven't even started to begin with, and so they cancel their membership. People want to hear all the time that, well, I tried. I'll go next year. Well, bro, you got about 10, 12 months for you. Next year comes around. You still got plenty of time to get back on track. My point today is this, and this is what I want you to think about. You can always start a new beginning anytime. Anytime. So we look at New Year's. Let's talk about New Year's. We talk about year ends and we talk about year beginnings. And if you stop and think about it, the year begins and ends so differently for so many different things. The IRS, they're on our calendar. They do the same thing we do. It ends December 31st, begins January 1st. So they start January, they end December, and the IRS is always looking for your money. But school doesn't start on the same year that the IRS does. School doesn't start in January, does it? Starts in August sometime. Ends in May or June, whatever that may be. So there's different times that things begin and things end, and they don't follow the same calendar. As far as us here in America, we follow the Gregorian calendar. The Gregorian calendar is widely used across the world. It is a solar-based calendar, which is based off of the revolution of the sun or the earth going around the sun, that solar stuff. And it includes leap year. Matter of fact, 2024 was a leap year. We had an extra day in February. Won't happen again until 2028, because that's the same cycle that we go through. And so we follow the Gregorian calendar. Now, other countries don't follow that. Matter of fact, China, they follow the lunar calendar. Their New Year's begins January 29th. So you have China, you have Vietnam, you have Korea, some of those East Asian countries. They follow a different calendar. Matter of fact, Ethiopia celebrates New Year's on September 11th. 9/11, we're looking back to 2001, and they're looking to a new year. Isn't that crazy? The Jewish calendar, their new year is Rosh Hashanah. This year, I was going to say last year, but we're still in this year. Still 2024. This year, it was October 2nd through October 4th was Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish new year. Next year, it's going to be the 22nd through the 24th of September. So their new year kind of changes. It's actually a holiday. It's the Old Testament, it was the Feast of Trumpets. You find that in Numbers 23 and Deuteronomy or Leviticus 29 talks about the Feast of Trumpets. It was their new year, but it was to be on this date, the first day of the seventh month. And so if you take October as the seventh month and you go back, that's the, October is the 10th month, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta get my note. I was never good in math. I apologize. October's 10, and their trumpet of feast was the 7th month. So you go 10 minus 7 is what? What month is that? March. Remember that. Remember that. So Rosh Hashanah ends with Yom Kippur. It's a big fast and so forth, big deal for the Jews. But my point is this. We all start things differently. We all start at different points, beginning and end differently. And I understand sometimes things happen throughout a year and you're just, man, you're just waiting for this year to end. You're waiting for the year to begin. You're waiting for, let's just start fresh. I want to put this year behind me, all the things that have happened and all this stuff. But what I'm trying to say is that you don't have to wait for a new year for that to happen. My point this morning to you is this. A new beginning can begin today. You don't have to wait till Wednesday. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting on? God has always been and always will be a God of new beginnings. And that holds true today. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our study. And so after we pray, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Sam Salter, would you open us in a word of prayer, please? And we'll get into our study. Amen. Okay, so we come to the book of Exodus. We know Israel is in enslaved by Egypt, 430 years of bondage, and they're crying out to God. And God finally delivers them from the Egyptians, and God shows his power. And this is the beauty. God shows his power over these false gods that the Egyptians had. They had thousands of gods in Egypt, and so God picks 10 of them to mock in Exodus chapter 7 through 12. And one of those plagues was the plague of frogs. And this was funny because the plague of frogs was a mock of their frog god in Egypt. So this was a, It was a female woman, and she had the head of a frog. That's pretty sexy, isn't it? But, wow, she looks like a frog. But they were so worshiping of frogs that you were not allowed to kill a frog. If I forget the Egyptian law that if you were within the vicinity of a dead frog, you had to go to court to prove that you didn't kill that frog. That's how sacred they were. And so when God does the I think this was the second plague in Exodus 7 or 8, I forget which, but he has all of these frogs spread out. The Bible says that they were in their food. The Bible says they were in their beds. The Bible says that they were everywhere that they... Could you imagine stepping on a frog? There's just frogs everywhere. It's like... Everywhere you would step on a frog. You couldn't get away from them. And there'd be... I mean, now just think. This is really cool. I just happen to have a little box of frogs here. Watch this, man. This is going to be great. Oh. That must be the one Tom made. Try this one. That's a Tom one, too. All right. It could be. I don't have a flat spot, man. Oh, there we go. That's the one I made. Kids, you can have those after the service is over. But listen, so all of these plagues mocked the Egyptian gods. How many plagues were there? 10. Thank you. Name one beside the plague of frogs.
Death of the firstborn child.
Oh, gosh. Man. That's amazing. Good job, Eden. That's awesome. Name another one. Water to blood, denial. Yep. Name another one.
Lice.
Come on, not just the front row over here. Come on. Lice, locust. What's the other ones?
Darkness.
Sores, boils. Yep. Couple more. Come on, you didn't think you were going to end this year without having to think, did you? Hail. Yep, hail mixed with fire. Absolutely. Wonderful, and I forget if we've covered them all. But we talk about the last one, which is what Miss Eden said. This is the one that God used at the very end, and this is where we're at in Exodus chapter 12. So the very last one was the death of the firstborn, and this was something very special to Israel from that moment forward. Because they had, God institutes Passover. This is the first establishment of Passover. And so Israel is to do this every year for every generation from that moment forward. And in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, this is what God says. He says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'In the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you.'" Now listen. "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you." So here is God establishing a brand new year. This is the month of Nisan. This is March, right? The third month. This is March for us. So God says, this is going to be the first month. Now, if they were to follow the Egyptian calendar, they had when the Nile flooded, that was their new year. So they knew when the new year was coming because the Nile would flood. That was mid-July. So if Israel was to follow the Egyptian new year, that would have been sometime in mid-July. Here is March, and God says, "I'm going to do something new for you." Here it is. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make this a brand new year. And so God establishes Passover, which is the 14th day of Nisan, which would be March 14th. And I don't want to get into it. Maybe we'll do it at Easter time, but I don't want to talk about why we don't do Easter in March. Ours is always different because we have different things. We're not Jewish, and we don't follow those timelines. We follow New Testament stuff. But anyway, so go back to Exodus. So God says, here is your new year. Now stop and think about this. 430 years... they're in bondage. God finally shows up. He does something, has these 10 plagues to show his power. And the very last plague, the plague of the firstborn, God tells Israel, you're to take hyssop, which was a little plant, and you're to take a lamb, you're to shed its blood, dip the hyssop in there, put that blood on the lintel and the doorpost, and when the destroyer comes into Egypt and he sees the blood, he will pass over that house. Death will pass over. And so not only was it for the firstborn in the house, but it was also for the firstborn of the livestock as well. And so this is a New Year's Eve. God says, here you go. This is what I want you to do on New Year's Eve. And then God's going to show up on New Year's Day. This is a Passover tradition. This has been passed on for generations. The Jews still follow this Passover even today. And I think a lot of folks have New Year's Eve traditions. Do you have New Year's Eve traditions? How many of you bang pots and pans when midnight comes? Anybody? No, nobody? Okay, yeah, I don't do that either. Sad. I did have one. When I was growing up, my dad had one. I don't know if this was from his family or not. It's very weird. And so we would go out the front door. Or no, you put a. It's been so long since I did this that I don't even remember. You put a plate out the front door, and you'd take a penny, and you'd open the door, and you'd have to hit it on the plate, because if you didn't do that, then you have to do some other crazy stuff. So you have to throw this penny on the plate. Then on New Year's Day, this is New Year's Eve. Then on New Year's Day, you would have to go out the back door, come to the front door, take your penny, and then toss it into the house. And we'd do that every year. And this is like legalism, man. You just don't question it. It's like, this is great. And then I got older, and I'm like, Dad, what are we doing this for? I don't know. Well, why did you do it? My family did it for years. Well, what does it mean? I don't know. Seriously? So I had to look this up, because this is funny, because in some cultures, German... because this is where Zedeker comes from, descent of German. And so in some German cultures, this was a sign of prosperity, bringing in prosperity into the house. And so they must have brought that over, and people forgot what the heck it was for, and who knows. Now, New Year's Day. Mom, I love you. Please stay in Texas. She always did sauerkraut and pork. Okay, I will stay at home in my own. Please don't invite me to your house. Only if you have like tons of brown sugar in the sauerkraut, like sweeten that up. Ugh. How many of you don't like sauerkraut? Praise God, there's tons of them. Not the only one. Whew. All right. Many people have many traditions, but this is a Jewish one. God said, you're going to do this tradition every New Year's Eve, and you're going to remember what I'm going to do right here for you, coming out of Egypt and bondage in 400 years, and you're going to see my power. And so I don't think the Egyptians celebrate New Year the same way. They do the same as Ethiopia. They do September 11th as well. But back to Exodus, Israel's doing a brand new tradition. God shows up. He does something new on New Year's Day. If you're there in Exodus 12, look at verse 29. You can skim down there. At midnight, here we go. Happy New Year! The Lord struck down all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive, who is in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. Israel was doing a new thing on New Year's Eve. And God began to do something at midnight on New Year's Day. Happy New Year. Here it is. Get ready, because you're going to get out and you're going to start moving. This is New Year's. The Bible goes on in Exodus. It talks about Pharaoh woke up in the middle of the night with the cries and the screams. And in the middle of the night, he got Moses and Aaron. And he said, take your people and just get the heck out of here. Now listen to Psalm 105, verse 37 and 38. It's talking about God. God brought Israel out of Egypt with silver and gold And that's like a Christmas song, isn't it? Silver and gold, Burl Ives. And there was none among his tribes who stumbled. Remember that word, stumbled. Egypt was glad when they left. They're like, yeah, just get out, man. We're done. That word stumbled there means, some translations use the word feeble. It means that every person in Israel, when God exodus-ed them? No. When they left Egypt, not a single one of them had to walk with a limp, a cane, a wheelchair, nothing. That's that word stumbled. They were strengthened. Their God strengthened every single one of them to get up and move. And here's the beauty. He used Egypt to give them whatever they wanted. Back in Exodus 12, verse 35 and 36, it says that the people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold, jewelry and clothing. And the Lord had given Israel favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they left with what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Here's Israel in absolute slavery for 430 years. And God finally shows up on New Year's Eve. And he says, okay, you guys be ready. Don't even wait for the bread to rise. Make unleavened bread. Don't even wait for it. Because when I tell you to go, you grab your stuff and go. And they're like, okay. They put the blood on the door. They're waiting on God. Midnight, God does a thing. And what does he do? He does above and beyond. Isn't God able to do exceedingly abundant beyond what we think or expect? Yes. That is so amazing, because he did. In Psalm 105, the Egyptians said, we're happy. We're glad you get out. Get out. Okay. Well, can I have your bag of gold? Yes, take it. Can I have your bag of silver? Sure, take that too. Take this fancy little dumb thing. Get it out of here. Take it all. Oh, you want this? Oh, here you go. You want some purple clothing? Take it. And when they left, they had all of Egypt's riches. So when you get to them building the temple or the tabernacle, they had everything they need. Moses said, stop. We got everything we need. Don't bring no more. We'll probably never say that here in Mission Point, but keep bringing it all in. But here's the point. Somebody's going to try to catch me on truth, and I gotta go back and redirect, because I know somebody's thinking about this. When does our day begin? Midnight, right? So at midnight, that'll be a new day. So tonight at midnight, it's Monday, right? Okay. Now, before you try to catch me, that I'm trying to false teach you and all that good stuff. That's why I did all the frogs to throw you off. When did Israel's day begin? It began at 6 p.m., approximately 6 p.m. And if you understand anything about the Bible, you know that Israel, the Jewish day, begins at evening and goes all the way through the night and all the way through the day, and then ends at 6 p.m. Their new day starts at 6. You get that? This is one of the greatest things that backs up the Genesis account as being literal 24-hour days. Because the Bible said, and God did this, and there was the evening and the morning the first day. And then God did this, and there was the evening and the morning the second day. And so these are days. So when you look at this account of God coming here's the truth. God did everything on the same day. Right? That's my point. Now, I make it, I'm giving you a principle for us to follow. New Year's is coming up here, and you have New Year's Eve, and then you have 12 o'clock is going to be a new day and all that stuff. But guess what? God did every bit of this stuff in one day. It was the same day. 6 p.m. was the same day. And it kept going. God says, you do this, and I'm going to do this. It was the same day. The whole point of this story is to show you this. God made a New Year's Day. It wasn't on the regular scheduled program. He said, I'm going to give you a new day. This is going to be a new year. Right here, March. This is your new year. And you're going to do this. This is going to be your tradition. Here's going to be Passover. And God did something new. And it was the same day. We don't have to wait to the official New Year's Day to start resolutions. We can start any time, night or day. Do you realize that? You don't have to wait to January to start. God can renew, revive, and refresh at any time.
Amen.
Amen? That's the beauty and the power of the God that we serve. He can create a new beginning at any time. We can start new beginnings at any time. God will help us. We don't have to be feeble or stumble, or we don't have to. If you just let him, he'll be there. Isaiah 41, verse 10, Isaiah writes this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." What a beautiful promise by God Almighty. Does God have the power to do what he says he can do? Amen? The beauty of God never leaving us or forsaking us. He is always there to help us. Matter of fact, if you know anything about God's name, that's one of his names. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. "The circumference of the city shall be called 18 cubits, and the name of the city from that time on shall be Jehovah Shammah." The Lord is there. God is there. He's there. He's everywhere. I love that. If you just call on God to help you with a new beginning, he'll help you. Amen. Psalm 145, verse 18 says this, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call on him in truth." He is so quick to help you. He is so ready to help you. He just wants you to ask him. You can step into a new beginning. You don't have to wait till New Year's. Psalm 118:24 says this, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Why can't you start a new beginning today? Why can't it start today? Start that today. You want to begin healthy lifestyle? Why do you have to wait till January 1st to do that? Why not do that today? Can I tell you what? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then you have New Year's Day. You got 4 days. Think you can lose at least 1 pound by Wednesday? Sure, why not? Well, then why start January 1st? Why not start now? By Wednesday, you'd be like, yeah, I'm starting a new healthy thing, but I've already lost one pound, and keep moving. How about enhancing what you've already begun? Keep going with those things. I need to drink more water, and boy, come January 1st, I'm going to start. Well, how about you do that now? How about you start drinking more water now? You can do that now, can't you? Why wait? That's the beauty of it. You don't have to wait. I'm waiting on God to heal me. We'll just get through this year, and January 1st, we're just going to start afresh. God can heal you right now, and you can start afresh right now.
Amen.
You don't have to wait till January 1st. You can do that now. It can be now. A new beginning. Financial struggle. We're going to start working on our finances January 1st. Well, how about you stop spending money now? You don't have to spend anything now. A lot of people do that. Well, I'm going to waste everything I got till January 1st, and then the new year, I'm going to start work. Well, how about you start working on it now? Work on that now. You don't have to wait till January. Learn something new. Okay, well, come January, I'm going to learn something new. Okay, you want to learn something new? Here you go. Right here is an instruction manual on how to make a frog. It's a little paper frog. A little dumb, a little stupid, some don't jump, but you got to do it properly. You want to learn how to do that? I got some of those printed off back there. Kids, you want to learn something? Here you go, make a frog and take those into school and show your kids why you made a frog, the 10 plagues of Egypt, and show God's power and what he is able to do. God is mighty to save. Amen? Beautiful illustration. There you go. There's another one for you. Listen, you can learn something new right now. You don't have to wait till January. That's the whole point of what I'm trying to say. This is the beauty of it. You can do it today. You can do it tomorrow. You can do it Tuesday. It doesn't matter. Your new beginning can begin whenever. God is a God of new beginnings. But it all starts with this. You got to have a new beginning of being a new creature in Christ. That's first and foremost. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says that if anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation.
Amen.
You have to be a new creation. That's where it starts. You have to work on that relationship with the Lord. You got to be reconciled back to God. And so if you have never been saved, or salvation has never come to you, or you've never been regenerated, you've never been born of the Spirit or born again, or you've not went from death to life, and maybe you're just like, I have no clue what any of those words mean and all of that stuff. Well, guess what? You can know today. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, that those that have accepted Jesus Christ know for sure they have heaven and eternal life. So my question to you this morning is, do you know for sure? You can have a new beginning right today by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. And then maybe you have accepted the Lord. Maybe you have believed on God. Maybe you're a church member and you're trying to start something new. You don't have to wait till January 1st. And this is the beauty. Even if you mess up on the second Friday of January or by the third month, you can always start afresh. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, one thing I do is forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Paul said, I press on for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forget about the failures and all the things and the stuff that have happened. It doesn't matter if it's January 7th and things haven't happened exactly as you wanted them to. Forget about it. Forget what lies behind. You continue to press on toward the goal. You continue to move forward. You continue to make a new beginning. Because God is always there to help you make a new beginning. It doesn't matter if it's midday, the end of the day, you might be getting ready to go to bed. God never sleeps. Amen?
Amen.
He is not constrained by time or space. One day is the same as 1,000 days, and he can do the same thing on the same day and make a new beginning. He can give you 2 beginnings in the same day. Isn't that awesome? I love how wonderful that is. God is a God of new beginnings. And so don't let anything stop you from starting fresh. You can do that at any time, and God's right there to help you. Let's bow for prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for just your son, Jesus Christ. You gave him to us at Christmas to show us that this was the sign. A virgin conceived and gave birth, and this is how we know that he was the Messiah. This is how we know he was God. This is how we know the truth, because you fulfilled every prophecy that you said in the Old Testament concerning his birth, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And because he rose from the dead, we know that you accepted that sacrifice forever as the only one necessary to have heaven and eternal life. And so those that have put their trust in what Jesus did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, Lord, we know that those are the ones that have been born again, born of the Spirit, gone from death to life. And so, Father, I pray before New Year's, if there's someone here this morning that does not know your son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, let today be the day of salvation. Let this be a new beginning. Start the year off wonderful as a new creature. And for your church, God, I pray that they don't have to wait till January. They can start a new beginning at any time. Whatever the need this morning, Father, we just pray that they would come. They would come. Have your way, Lord, in this invitation. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.